Okay, I've got 30 minutes, and we started this last week, and we made this statement: a man without passion is a fire without light. A man without passion is a fire without light. What good is that? None. None. Last week we talked about six things when it comes to developing passion. Number one, let me go back over this real fast, then we'll get to the new stuff. Number one, take responsibility. Every one of us came into this earth with a God design on the inside of us. Every one of us were created by God for God. I was not created for my wife. Thank God she's my wife. Okay? I was created by God for God. That's what we were created for. Our whole existence has to do with bringing glory to God by our lives. So number one, if I'm going to develop spiritual passion, I have to take responsibility. I have to find my purpose and I have to work at it. I have to do it with all my might. I love the scripture in Ecclesiastes from the Message. It says, seize life. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Your Bible won't read this way. This is the Message. Seize life. Eat bread with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. For you Celebrate Recovery folks, that's grape juice, okay? Oh yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on colors and scarves. Relish life with the spouse that you love. Each and every day of your precarious life. Each day is God's gift. We need to see every day that we live as a gift from God. What do you do with the gift that you've been given today? Tomorrow. What are we going to do with that? So it says, each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it and heartily. We need to give ourselves to whatever it is that our purpose is. We need to do that with passion. Everybody say, passion. I like passion, don't you? You know, passion is contagious. It really is. When you see somebody doing something that they love to do, it just does something to you. When you see half-heartedness, that's what it spawns. We need to be passionate about what we do. And we have to develop that passion. So whatever turns up, grab it and do it and heartily. This is your last and only chance at it. For there's neither work to do nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead where you're most certainly headed. Every one of us is going to die. You get one chance at life. You get one chance to do it right. Why not take responsibility for my life? Too many people live by their circumstances. They spend all of their time reacting to circumstances of life. That is, we need to be proactive, not reactive. We need to be creating the circumstances of life. We don't need to be dictated to by circumstances. Because let me tell you, a lot of times Satan is in charge of circumstances. He creates circumstances. He'll get you so busy doing good things that you don't do the right thing. Are you with me? Number two, you find what you look for. You're either positive or negative. You either see the negative in everything or you can see the positive. Right now, you can see what's going on in our economy and in our world is extremely negative. Jason and the gals went to a Celebrate Recovery thing in Nashville yesterday. And one of the things that John Baker said, he wrote all of the Celebrate Recovery curriculum and all that. He says, we have the greatest opportunity because our economy is down and things are bad. More people are going to start coming to church. More people are going to start searching for things in life. This is our greatest opportunity. Listen, when folks are at our worst, that is the opportunity that we have as the church to be at our best. You can see life as negative. You can see every situation as negative. Or you can choose to see the positive. I choose the positive. People ask me all the time, how you doing today? I say, I'm wonderful. I'm lovely. They laugh at me sometimes. But I choose to be that way. I choose to have a good attitude. I could get a bad attitude, and sometimes I do. Then I slap myself. Oops. I slap myself and say, quit that. I'm in charge of my attitude. You know, Kathy can't make me have a bad day. She can try, but she can't make me have a bad day unless I choose to have a bad day. The circumstances of life cannot choose my day for me. I choose how I react to everything. So it's how we view things and how we see things. Number three, when you know your purpose in life, you got to make a plan. Make a plan. You know what happens if you don't plan? You procrastinate. Do we have any procrastinators in the house? I'm a natural procrastinator. Got to have a plan. Got to have a plan. Oh, no. You got to choose some things that you need to avoid to do. See, there's some things you need to plan not to do. And there's some things you need to plan to do. You have to set some priorities in your life. This is something that's important to me. I'm going to build my life around this which is important. I'm not going to be distracted by this. This may be good for somebody else, but this is not good for me because it doesn't fit in the plan that God has for my life. As we begin to discover God's plan, we need to conform ourselves to that plan. Are you out there today? We need to conform ourselves to that plan. Ooh, I love Jeremiah 29:11 from the Amplified Bible. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. To give you a hope in your final outcome. God has a good plan for you. Now you may have goofed it up. You may have messed it up. But you know what? That didn't change God's plan. You're not going to goof up God's plan until you die with it unfulfilled. But God's got a good plan for you. God has a successful plan for you. Now I sound like a feel-good preacher. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. God has not designed evil for any of you. You may choose evil, but God has not designed evil for you. God's got a good plan. You know what I know about God? He likes me. Whoo! God's not mad at me. And I goof up. I goof up all the time. Does anybody else goof up all the time? Say, preacher, you're not supposed to admit to that. You're supposed to confess the positive. Well, I do. I goof up. I have bad attitudes. I do wrong things sometimes. I say wrong things sometimes. I goof up. It's not the fact that you never make a mistake. God still likes me, even though I'm not perfect. Now, you thought I was perfect, didn't you? Does anybody here think I'm perfect? Nobody. Ooh. I'm just fooling myself, aren't I? Alex thinks I'm perfect. He's my bud. I'm telling you, Alex is my bud. No, we're not perfect. We will make mistakes. That does not end God's plan for our lives. What hope would you girls have if you could mess it up? God knew the choices that you would make. And He tailor-made redemption to fit you. He tailor-made redemption to fit you. Wow, that's awesome. God knows every thought that I'll ever have. He knows every sin that I'll ever commit. And He made sure that when Jesus died on the cross, that He paid the price for every sin that I have commit, am committing, or will commit. Now that doesn't mean that I can just live any way I want to. That just means that when I goof up, if I'll fess up, He'll clean me up so that I don't have to live in bondage to that. Okay. Ooh. So you got to make a decision, don't you? Got to have a plan. You got to make a decision. It's time to act on it. I know a lot of folks have got plans that they never act on. until you act. You know what it says in James, and I don't have time to go there, that faith without works is dead. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't have a corresponding action to go along with that faith, it will produce nothing. It's like a body without a spirit in it. It's just a corpse. A plan without action is a corpse. If you really believe something, if you really believe that God has planned for your life, that He has purpose for your life, you choose that plan until you act on it, guess what? You don't really grow. I want to say something that sounds almost like a heretic. Knowledge of the Word of God will only take you so far. And I'm a great one to believe in renewing your mind of the Word. It's not until you do what you know that you begin to grow. Okay? It's when you begin to implement what you know. I know a lot of folks can quote a lot of Scripture and they're defeated in their life. They know. They can tell you all about finances. And they can tell you all about prosperity, but they're poor. And they're beat up. And they can't pay their bills. And they keep making the same stupid mistakes all over and over. They got just a head full of knowledge. And it does them absolutely no good. Except they preach it at other people. And they're turned off because they're hypocritical about it. It's not what you know that makes you grow. It's what you do with what you know that makes you grow. So when you discover the purpose, you begin doing it. You make a decision to act on it. Number five, stroke the fires of passion. How do you do that? How do I stroke the fires of passion? I have to do daily reviews in my life. You need to go back and think about your day. You need to evaluate your day. How did I do today? Did I walk inside the plan that God has for my life, or did I get distracted? If you don't review, if you don't evaluate, guess what you're going to do? You're going to get drawn off to the side somewhere, and 6 months down the road, you're going to be depleted of all passion whatsoever because you don't evaluate your day. You need to stop. You need to count your blessings. You need to review your day. You need to make daily corrections in your life. That sounds like a lot of work. It is. It is. I'm amazed at people sometimes how they just live mindless lives. And everything that happens in their life controls their life. They're not in charge. God wants you to be in charge. You say, I thought He's supposed to be in charge. Yeah, but He does it through you. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if the Lord wants it, I'll get it. And if He doesn't, no. What happened to faith? What happened to your responsibility to be obedient? What happened to your responsibility to follow? We have a responsibility. We're not earning anything. We're just learning to be obedient to God's plan. So you have to review. Okay. Number six. Don't douse the flames. Set priorities. You want to ignite your life with passion. Folks, I'm more stoked than I've ever been in all of my life about ministry. I'm more excited about preaching to you the Word of God than I ever have been in my life. I'm seeing God fulfill the dream that I've had in my heart for a long time. And you know what? And I'm 50. I'll be 57 this year, and people are thinking about, you know, well, it's only 5 more years before I can retire. I'm thinking, do I have to retire? And amen. I don't want to retire. I don't want to quit. I mean, I'm not looking forward to sitting in the recliner. I want to be doing something. I want to be accomplishing something. On my dying day, I want to accomplish something. I'm excited about, I'm passionate about, So you have to, don't douse the flames. You got to set priorities. And we're setting some priorities. We're setting some growing points. We're setting some things in this church to go forward. Are they always popular? No. Do they mean that we have to make some changes? Yes. Do we like changes? No. I don't like changes. You know what? It would be easy. What would be the easiest thing? Just to go back like we were when we were at the old church. Just act like we did when we was at the old church. Just do the things that we did when we were at the old church. It would be easier to do that. This is more challenging. This has more potential bumps in the road. But you know what? This is the way we're going to live. Because this is the way we're going to glorify God. I've had to change my whole mindset of the way that we do church. Not what I believe, but what my mindset about what church is all about. It's not about us four and no more in Acts 2:4. It's about you, but it's also about the person that's not yet here. You know what? We got several seats that are not full. Well, I mean, we're beyond capacity to grow. But I'm thinking there needs to be people for all kinds of seats. I'm thinking that we have to plan things for people that are not here yet. How many young ladies? I went to Celebrate Recovery the other night, and these two young ladies gave their testimony. I was blown away. I don't know how they survived. What they survived. And I'm not going to give their testimonies. But I saw the grace of God that was extended to these two young ladies, and I'm going to hear the other one testify sometime. But there are people who do not survive the things that they've gone through. I wonder how many young ladies there are out there that are just like y'all, that are going through hell right now. They're getting beat up. They're getting abused. They're being raped and mistreated. I wonder how many there are out there in homes that are dysfunctional, that are crying out to God for answers, and they're not finding them. I'm thinking that we have to build who we are for those people that are not yet here yet. Because I know that there's hundreds of girls just like y'all. There's hundreds of guys out there like that go through John 3:16. There are hundreds of people out there that have gone through some of the things that you have gone through. And this one thing I know about the things that happen in our lives that are bad, God is able to take those things around and turn them into a ministry for you. I like to say it, God takes our moanies and turns them into testimonies. A lot of us have had a lot of moanies in our life, bad stuff. The stuff that makes us moan. But God can take those and make them into testimonies that can set other people free. I haven't been through a lot of bad stuff in my life. I just haven't. Some of you have. And there's a bunch of other folks out there just like you that we have to have a place here that they can come and worship. And that's what I'm passionate about. That's what I'm passionate about. So we have to set some priorities. We have to make the changes that we need to make. And then we have to go forward. Nothing great in the world has ever been accomplished without passion. Half-heartedness produces nothing that will last. I love what John Maxwell said. He says, a great leader's courage to fulfill his vision comes from passion, not position. Well, bless God, I'm the pastor. You'll do what I say because I'm the pastor. And it doesn't come from position. It comes from passion. You're not going to catch the vision that God has given us because of my position. It'll have to come out of my passion. You know, and passion is contagious. You know what I love about Nancy Duncan? She's not in here. I can brag about her. Don't you tell her, Jerry. She loves what she does. She is passionate about your children. You know, a few months ago, we had to make some cutbacks because of finances. We cut her pay completely out. It did not affect her passion whatsoever. We cut some other folks' pay out. It didn't affect Ashley at all. She's still passionate about praise and worship. It didn't affect it because they're not hirelings. You cannot buy that. It's something that we have to take responsibility for ourselves, that we're passionate about what God has called us to do. I want to see some folks that are passionate about greeting and being ushers and serving people and making an atmosphere where love abounds in this place, so that the people that are not yet here can come and feel accepted and comfortable. One good thing about this church, I'm going to quote you. You can come here and you can sit here like a bump on a log, or you can shout. And it don't matter which way it is. Because you don't have to conform to anything just because that's what you're supposed to do. I believe you're going to grow in your relationship with God, but you don't have to come here and raise your hands if you don't want to. You don't have to. It's not required. And we're not putting pressure on people to do that. We don't drag people to the altar kicking and screaming. Number 7, you got to recharge your batteries. You got to recharge your batteries. How many of you know that spiritual health is also reflected in your mental and your physical? You know, if you have poor health, it affects what you're able to do for God. So when we're talking about recharging our batteries, we're talking about not only taking care of our spiritual lives, we also have to take care of our physical lives. I shared a few weeks ago that I went by my pharmacist to ask him a question. He took my blood pressure. It was 160 over 110. That's high. I got to lose weight. I'm on blood pressure medicine now. But I'm going to lose weight. I am losing weight. I've lost, I think, 15, 16 pounds so far. And I'm going to get to where I don't have to be on that blood pressure medicine anymore because it's all weight related. I got to recharge my battery. That means I may have to start walking again. There are things that you have to do to relieve stress in your life. It's called recharge your batteries. You have to do things in your life physically to keep yourself mentally alert and spiritually alert so that you can accomplish what you need to do. If you're all stressed out all the time, if you live in stress, you know that'll affect your blood pressure too. If you don't take time to sit down and think and reflect during the day, take a power nap, whatever it is that you need to do to recharge your batteries, you know, that'll affect your passion because it'll affect your health. Well, that don't sound spiritual. Well, let me put it another way. We need to be good stewards of our body. In fact, the Bible speaks very clearly about if we abuse the body, that God's going to hold us accountable. Think about that a minute. Okay, you thought about it a minute. Boy, I can feel the brakes, come on. Think about the ways that we abuse our bodies. We put drugs in them. We overeat. And we'll put that right up front. Those that don't overeat eat the wrong things. We suck nicotine down our lungs. There's so many ways that we abuse our bodies. We allow stress to control our lives. We need to become good stewards of our body. I would say the majority of disease is not germ-related as much as it is stress and lifestyle-related. So we need to become better stewards. That will help our passion. Okay, number 8. Develop interest in life. There are other things that you need to be interested in. And see, here's the neat thing, and we talk about this all the time. You can use anything as a means to reach people. We have biker groups. We have a biker group here in the church. We have a hiking group here in the church. Did y'all hike yesterday? Did y'all have a big time? They went. How many went? 18 folks went hiking. They'll be having another hike here for long. Are you interested in that? You know what that is? That's developing interest. And you know, you can use those things for fellowship. You can use those things to reach people for Christ. Sometimes think, well, what we need to do away with all that and come together and study the Bible. I know how narrow that's made you. We need to have other interests too. You need to, can I say this? You need to read other things than the Bible. Now you need to read the Bible. You need to know the Bible, but you need to read other things too. I read all kinds of books. I read religious books. I use that in the right context. But I don't stick with one author. You get just as narrow as they are. If you stick with one author that has one specialty, you'll get just as narrow as they are. So you need to develop a wide interest in people. Get interested in people. People will give you an education. You'd be amazed if you just start talking to people and find out what interests them, how you will grow as a person. Honestly, you will. You'll grow as a person if you'll get interested in other people and what they're interested in. You know what? When you meet somebody, don't talk about yourself. Don't you just love to be around somebody that all they talk about is themselves? There are people who do that. I had some kin folks. He's gone now. She divorced him. That's all he talked. He talked about what he was interested in. And you got where you just didn't want to hear it. And you found yourself avoiding that person. You know what? If you talk about yourself all the time, people will avoid you. And the best way to learn in life is find out. If I'm going to be friends with Paul Kober, I'm going to know what's going to make him tick, what he's interested in. And I'm going to talk about what he's interested in, not what I'm interested in. Just a thought. Some of you need to listen to that. Quit making you your main topic, because people don't want to hear it. Okay. Literature. Read literature. Music. There's a lot of beautiful things out there in this world. There's all kinds of music, and I'm not talking about trashy music. Some classical music. That'll do some stuff for you. That will do some things to your creativity. Some of you need to feed your creativity. Some of you have a creative side that you starve because you think that it's all chapter and verse. No. I have read poetry that just touches my heart deep. Now, it's usually based on the Word. But I've read some stuff that some of the church fathers has written that has just blessed me so much and just touched me deep. So you can have all kinds of interest that will cause you to grow as a person. And you know what it does when you grow as a person? You widen your influence. If all I talk about is hunting and fishing, I'm limiting my influence. The more that I can learn about people, where I can talk and converse with people, I widen my realm of influence. Amen. Okay. Got to hurry. Number 9, take brief awareness breaks throughout your day. Remind yourself of the joy of being alive. In other words, count your blessings. You know, there's a lot of cruddy stuff going on around. If you're not careful, you get to looking at that. Say, no, time out. Pew. You find yourself in a stressful situation, time out. Count your blessings. Get aware. There's a whole lot more in your life that's going good than it's going bad. And if you always look at the negative, you're going to be negative. Take a time out. Take an awareness break. Count your blessings. Number 10. Avoid negative people and associate with enthusiastic people. Nobody likes to be around Mr. Negative. They call it being realist sometimes. But there's both sides. No. Look for the positive. But avoid negative people. People that when you're around them, I mean, they're gossipy, they're negative about everything. Avoid those people. They won't build you up. They'll tear you down. Find somebody that's enthusiastic. Find somebody that builds you up. And then what? You can become that person that builds other people up. Because that's what it's all about anyway, isn't it? Amen. Okay, number 11. Share your zest for life with others. Man, that's good. Are you excited about being a believer? Are you excited about living for the Lord? Then you need to let that spill over out of you and just inspire people around you. Have you ever been around a real serious Christian? Why don't you come to my church? Be like me. Nah. Nope. People don't like condemnation. Judgmentalism. They don't like that stuff. That does not draw people to Christ. That does not draw people to Christ. It's people who are excited about living for God. And I'm talking about people who live for God. I'm not talking about being hypocritical. I'm talking about really living your life for God. I forgot who was telling me this. Talking to a guy the other day and said the F word and how God had blessed him. And I'm thinking, mixed signal there. Effing Jesus has blessed my life. Whoa! Mixed signal there. People are not attracted to that. Don't want that. If that's what being a Christian is, you know, a lot of unsaved people know that what they're doing is not right. And when they hear somebody who professes Christ that uses that kind of language, they're not drawn to Christ. They're repulsed. So if you're going to be enthusiastic and sharing your zest for life with others, you need to make sure that you're walking in fellowship with God. Amen. You didn't have to say that, Pastor. Number 12. Take vitamins for the mind. You know, I take vitamins every day for my body. I take things that strengthen my heart. I take things that strengthen my eyes. I take other things that now I'm taking something for my blood pressure. But take vitamins every day. I'm not talking about B12. Listen to the Word of God every day. Right now, I have got the New Testament on CD in my car. In my drive time, I'm listening. Somebody read the Word to me. You know, that's better, and I like drive time sports, but that's better for you than drive time sports. And that's definitely better for you than Basil and what's his name in the morning. You can take vitamins, or you can just listen to minutia, just crud, just stuff, just music, or just something to occupy your mind. Why not be putting something in there that's going to build you up, like the Word? Listen to worship music. Listen to good teaching. When I'm in the office, I've got somebody preaching at me the whole time. I'm working on the computer. I'm getting this ready or getting that ready. Or I'm on Facebook. Old Craig Groeschel is preaching at me. And Chris Hodges is preaching at me. And Dino Rizzo is preaching at me. And Robert Morris is preaching at me. I've got somebody preaching at me all the time. Why? I need some vitamins. I give out a lot. I have to have it coming in. You do too. Alright, so take vitamins for the mind. Motivational material will help you also. I have one magazine that I read that I really like. It's called Success Magazine. It's a secular magazine, but there's a lot of Christians who are on staff who write for it. And it's about people who are successful in what they do. It's a wonderful magazine. Success Magazine. It would be good for any businessman And not everybody that's in there is Christian. But they share their story. And sometimes their stories are inspiring. So you got to take vitamins for your mind. All the time. You need something going in you. Daily. I have to have it going all the time. Because it's important to me that I keep my passion. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for people of passion, of spiritual